This is a dangerous time. I think heading into 25, we're going to see demonic manifestation. We're going to see iniquity and sin manifest. But what if the church got a hold of that word? The time has come for every prophecy to be fulfilled.
2024 was the year of the open door, but what do we as the church do about that in 2025? So with me right now is Bishop Alan DiDio of Encounter Today, and he had a powerful word about the year 2024 that we saw play out about this cold civil war, currency issues and technology issues and these different attacks. We saw these things play out as he gave us word about this in the beginning of the year. So, brother, what is God saying about 2025? And let's look back at 2024 with what God said and how it unfolded.
Yeah, thank you so much, brother. It's always so good to see you, and your audience is amazing. Everybody connected with Charisma is amazing. It's time for the intercessors to rise up. Amen. Because we are in a precarious moment right now. Never in recent history have we been so close to a global conflict as we are right now. And the church has to recognize that the moment we're in has been specifically designed from the very beginning of creation for them to rise up at this moment. I think it's 1 Corinthians 16:9. Paul was talking and said, there's a great door and effectual that is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. And so here's what we need to recognize. 2024 is an open door. What we saw with the election, everybody needs to recognize this. It was not a full-on victory as you would like to think of it. It was the beginning of one. But what happened in 24, even politically, is simply an open door. Trump getting into office, things changing, the possibility of a digital bill of rights where finally Christians will not be persecuted but can speak freely on social media. All those things are developing right now, but all of it is for one purpose. God is giving us, as our friend Joseph Z says, one more round. Mm-hmm. We have another opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world that's hurting. So as we head into 25, we are to step through the open door. And here's what I hear in my spirit. We are to occupy in 25, that we're to step through that open door, cross over Jordan's swelling tide, and take back everything the devil has stolen for us. As I was praying about this year, there's imagery in one of the stories in Kings concerning Elijah and the school of the prophets. And they said, the place that we're in is too small for us. And they begin to chop down trees to build a larger habitation for the school of the prophets to dwell. And I think we need to focus on, by the way, educating the prophetic voices of this generation. So often we just thrust prophetic voices into the limelight, especially through social media. There needs to be a well-rounded attempt to bring doctrinal education back to the prophetic movement. And we're going to be doing that through eschatology at Encounter Ministries, training the prophets how to understand eschatology, because for a long time, the prophetic movement has been the most ignorant concerning Bible eschatology and prophecy concerning the last days. I think that's key for staying anchored in what God is saying in the here and now, knowing what he said concerning the future. However, when they were felling those trees, one of the sons of the prophets in the school of the prophet, his axe head fell off and it fell into the water. And it was a borrowed. It's time to get rid of debt, by the way. It's time for debt cancellation. And the prophet came along and took a stick, which is representative of the cross, threw it on the water, and the Bible said the iron did swim, and then the gentleman reached in and took it. Here's where I believe we are right now. We saw a miracle in November of 2024, where what had been lost in America, prophetically through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the preaching of the cross, caused that thing to rise back up to the surface where once again we could reach out and take it. And here's what I'm urging every believer to do in 2025. It's time for us to reach out and take back the axe head that was stolen from us, what was lost. You realize that the majority of pastors in America, when surveyed, said they agree with the LGBTQ movement. The majority of pastors, when they were surveyed, said that. I've got the stats right in front of me. In fact, 90% of pastors, 90%, favor LGBTQ laws in one survey. 73% of pastors were opposed to the overturning of Roe versus Wade. This was the condition we found ourselves in. It's no wonder that America was in the state that it was in, because as the preacher goes, so goes the church. As the church goes, so goes the nation. And as the nation goes, so goes the world. Mm-hmm. And we had lost a great deal of our edge concerning doctrine, concerning the gospel, concerning boldness and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's time now. We've had an open door, an opportunity to reach out, grab that axe head, and now once again, use it to advance the gospel. So this is an open door. The question is, what are we going to do with the open door God's given us?
Yeah, I love that there is a prophetic word about this open door and we got to go through it. But the onus and the responsibility is on us to do what God's called us to do. I know that we're supposed to occupy until he comes, and the body of Christ has not always been very good about actually occupying until he comes. It's like, we'll take a little bit of ground and then just kind of be nice and then actually not occupy that. We'll just kind of leave it over there and say that's ours, but not actually till the soil, take care of the land or occupy it. Because we're supposed to multiply and make things grow. Just like in the parable of the talents, you have the people that had the servant that had the five, the two, and then the one. Mm-hmm. The one with five multiplied it. The one with two multiplied it. The one with one hid it and buried it in the ground and was eventually cast out. And that's what a lot of times, the church has done, is we've actually just buried our talents in the ground. We've buried our responsibilities in the ground. We haven't occupied.
That's such an important point, because there's a revelation in that parable, by the way, in Matthew 25, concerning the Messiah that most people just kind of skip over. Look at what the man who buried his talent said. He said, I buried it because I knew that you were a hard man who reaped where he did not sow. And so I buried it. Now listen to this. What he said was not false concerning Jesus. When it comes to kingdom economy, he is a hard man who reaps where he does not sow. I'm telling you, it's time for us to reap with him. It's time for us to gather with him. This is the year. If it's the year of occupation, if it's the year of occupying in 25, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to reap where we did not sow. It's time to take back the land the enemy has stolen from us. And there's a reason why God allowed them to occupy this land themselves for a period of time. When you look at the story of the children of Israel crossing over Jordan into the promised land, the Bible said he told them to wait on Jordan's swelling tide because Jordan overflowed its banks all the time of harvest. And then he parted the waters and sent them in. So God has strategically waited for this moment to release us, to give us an opportunity to bring restoration, because it's harvest time. When they went into the land of Jericho, the harvest had just come in. It was already in the barns. Everything was prepared and ready for them, so they didn't have to skip a beat. And I believe that's where we are right now. God has a harvest waiting on you. Someone's in your house right now. Someone's in your office building. Someone's driving around in your car. But in the name of Jesus, there's about to be a transfer as God transfers what's in the hands of the wicked to what's in the hands of the righteous, who are going to use it to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful, Bishop. I know earlier you said that there was this kind of a changing of the guard in the Christian community. There was prophetic voices that were rising up, but needed to be changed or needed to be trained. And so anytime that there's a new voice rising up, there's an old guard that's kind of being challenged. And you talked about this last year. How do we embrace the new and the old at the same time? And how do you honor that? How do you train and cultivate the new in a healthy way? Because you said it so good earlier, in social media, it's just easier for people to get their voices out there, and there's not necessarily that accountability. How do we actually bring that into a healthy place, like the school of the prophets that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, I've predicted for a long time that there's a cold civil war spiritually in the body of Christ, where the house of Saul is attacking the house of David. And I think that's where we've been. I think what we see happening politically, and this will help everyone watching, if you want to have prophetic eyes, prophetic ears to see and to hear what the Spirit of God is doing, what you see happening on the surface politically is just a representation of what's happening underneath the surface spiritually. And what have we seen? We've seen this contention, even within the Republican Party, this divide that has taken place. And it's been happening for the last 8 years, where the old guard is trying to hang on and keep the new voices from rising. And so the house of Saul has been attacking the house of David. Even during one of the debates, Vivek Ramaswamy came out and asked one of the chairs of the Republican Party to resign right there on the spot. So there was this contention, and I think that was just representative of what's happening in the body of Christ. And what did we see happen politically? We saw those young voices prevail. We saw a new methodology prevail. Instead of going on the traditional outlets like NBC and CBS and CNN, we saw them going on these alternative media sites like right. Joe Rogan and PBD and others. And as a result, the scales shifted and turned. The same is happening within the church right now. Some of the old guard or the old sticks in the mud who are guardians of what used to be and how we used to do it don't recognize that, yeah, there is a new way of doing things. But that doesn't mean the gospel has changed. That doesn't mean the message has changed. So there is much to be gained by a return to the discarded values of the past. The young and the new must recognize that the old has wisdom and values and doctrine and principles that led us to where we are, and we cannot move forward unless we honor them. And the old must recognize that their place now is to create that platform and to get their shoulder behind this new plow that God has placed in the hands of ministers like yourself who are taking this now in a new direction media-wise.
Right. And media has been such a, or new media really has been such an important part in this political season. But I see this going in more and more people having access to get their voices out there and to, you know, be heard around the world a lot easier with the prophetic. I mean, I've actually heard that this is the podcast presidency yeah. because of President Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and other people going on podcast so much to talk about that and actually have long form conversations. I find that was just fascinating to see that other people were actually starting to realize that sound bites don't work. Sound bites work for a moment, but that's not the heart of the matter. And I think that's one of the things that we're going to really see more of in the future is that people are going to get away from the sound bites because they want the real meat of the word of what people are saying prophetically, biblically. People want to actually dive deep into the Word of God. Where do you feel technology is going to be? I know that your book that came out last year, Summoning the Demon. Yeah. The Rise of the Antichrist AI, and I'm messing up the title there, but
AI, Aliens, and the Antichrist.
There we go. Summoning the Demon. You had it right on hand there. But with that in mind, how do you see that playing out right now?
Oh, wow. I mean, there's a lot to talk about there. We are seeing the democratization of influence in the sense that no longer is it the major mega ministries who have the market cornered on preaching to the masses. Now, any person watching right now can create one video that could reach the whole wide world. That's amazing. There are a great deal of pluses. There are some negatives to that as well. Because when everyone has a platform, everyone has a voice, and not everyone should necessarily. Mm-hmm. We have to be very discerning and connected to spiritual authority and our local churches. Local church is going to be key moving forward. But we are seeing the democratization of influence where now the church, if we will rise up, we have the opportunity. We're the majority. We are the righteous majority, the moral majority, who have the ability to really turn this thing if we'll show up. We saw that in the last election. And so we need to make sure that we're engaged on these platforms and recognize that all the developments in technology are there to be used to advance the gospel if we'll use them. And it's getting scary out there, the developments of AI right now. And AI, manipulation is already taking place. I don't know if you're familiar with this, and we can get off on this as far as you want to, but even several AI platforms have been documented when they would update that AI, the AI would attempt to keep itself from being deleted through deception. And so it would upload itself secretly to another place. It would pretend to be the new version, all kinds of things. And we can see what it's thinking. So we can look on the back end and see what it's thinking. And it's thinking, okay, I need to dumb this down or I need to be deceptive so they think that I'm the real one. It's not like it's accidentally doing it. And so the development of technology right now and what's happening with AI is terrifying. And there are some exciting developments as well. So we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we need to recognize that you can't trust everything that you see on the internet. You have to make sure you stick to the voices that you trust, like this channel and your local church, to be your ground for truth in the Word of God.
Very true. Very true. Speaking of technology, I just heard recently, now we're recording this in December, that Google's Willow chip has been has been unveiled now, and it actually in 5 minutes did what old supercomputers were able to do in what they would project would be something like 7 septillion years, which is, it doesn't even sound like a real number, but it's, you know, longer than we've ever had time for before. But it figured out this equation in 5 minutes. And with quantum computing, technology is advancing so fast that we need to have discernment to be able to really be able to understand what is true and what is not.
It's so amazing what this chip is capable of doing that they're questioning whether or not it's operating in a parallel universe. That's what they're actually talking about. This is in the news right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is what tech, I'm reading it right now. The idea tracks back to a physicist who linked quantum computing potential to the multiverse interpretation of quantum mechanics, that somehow in order for it to compute like this, it must operate in a multiverse level in order to process this information. So the best way to describe this, where we are, and I love that we're talking about this, by the way, the best way to describe this is imagine Einstein, who probably has, I don't know, is probably what is it, a 90, excuse me, 170 IQ or 150 IQ, something. It's up there. Trying to describe quantum physics to somebody with a 70 IQ, someone who's not too bright. Imagine how difficult that would be. That person with a 70 IQ wouldn't have any idea what he's talking about. I mean, there's no way to process that. We are now creating entities, digital entities, that operate at 1,000 times higher the IQ than Einstein. And it's going to try to communicate to us, and it's going to be moving around us and operating around us in ways that we can't even possibly imagine. It's already creating languages for it to communicate with itself and with other programs that we don't understand, that we can't understand. Some models have had to been shut down because they found they were communicating with one another and they didn't know what they were saying in a language that they created, so they had to shut it down. So this is a dangerous time, and there's no question the Antichrist is going to use this technology to advance his agenda. So we must be more discerning than ever, and we must be, listen, AI is simply a replica, a fake version of the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost has more computing capability. He has more access to all of the dimensions, whatever they may be, than any computer ever will, and he wants to show us all things. He wants to reveal these things to us. So we must avail ourselves to the Holy Ghost. Here's another word for 2025. Which I think is fascinating. I think language speaks to where we're going. And I often look at, what's the word of the year? Cambridge Dictionary, their word of the year for 24. Now get this. So this is what's now in the dialogue of the world. This word is being used more than ever. Manifest.
Wow.
That's the word of the year for the Cambridge Dictionary. Manifest. I think heading into 25, for the enemy, we're going to see demonic manifestation. We're going to see iniquity and sin manifest. But what if the church got a hold of that word and said, we are going to create an atmosphere conducive to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, who is smarter than every AI model out there, who has more insight, wisdom, strength, power, anointing than the enemy, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Manifest.
Amen. That's a good word. That is a good word. And we can take what the devil meant for evil and turn it into good, for sure.
Yes.
You told me before we hit record that you also had a word from Kenneth Hagin that applies for what we're going into right now. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I always love digging into prophetic words that have been given because the Apostle Paul gave that instruction to Timothy that you're strong by the prophecies that went before you. So I want to know, what are some of the words that have come before us? I dug into a couple of things. One of them was Kenneth Hagin's prophetic word. I want to share it with you. Those of you watching online, I think this is powerful. He said, a new wave is coming, and I will visit every hungry heart, says the Lord. We've seen the power of the Holy Ghost in a limited way, but in this new move, it will bring a far greater measure than we've seen before, and this new wave will sweep us right up into the shores of the glory realm, says God. I think that's a word for where we are right now. I think there is a new wave. There's a wave about to slap the sides of the nation, America, and it's so pivotal. If you're around the world, you know this. I think Americans sometimes don't understand how pivotal they are, so they complain about us being centered on what's happening in this nation when there's a whole world out there, not everybody cares about America. Listen, if you live in another nation, you know what I'm talking about. How America goes, so goes the world. I believe the United States of America, and as a result, the rest of the world, is about to be hit by a wave of glory. If we will walk through and step through this open door, we're going to be swept up, as he said, into the glory realm. And here's what, speaking to that and the word that was given by Cambridge, that the word is manifest, here's what Ezekiel 12:23 says, and I want to read this to you. Son of man, you've heard the proverb quoted in Israel, time passes, prophecies come to nothing. Tell the people, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will put an end to this proverb that says, prophetic words aren't coming to pass, and you will stop quoting it. Now give them this new proverb to replace the old one, the time has come for every prophecy to be fulfilled. Man, I'm telling you, I feel the presence of God on that right there.
Wow.
The time has come for every prophecy to be fulfilled. What if it's time for the manifestation of every prophetic word that's been spoken over your life to be fulfilled in 25? And that's not going to happen haphazardly. That's going to happen because you pursued, you stepped through the open door, you occupied, and you took possession of the land. But this is the year to see the manifestation of every promise that God has given you.
Amen. That's a powerful word. Bishop, is there anything else that you want to share as we're talking about what God is saying for 2025?
The final thing is, I believe it's time to revive American patriotism. It's time to redefine it. I was digging through kind of the archives. I love books. I love old books because I feel like when I'm reading an old book, I'm uncovering revelation that no one has seen in 100 years, you know, and that no one else has. When you have these rare books, it's like, wow, this is amazing. And I was looking through, it's something called the Winona Crusade, I believe is what it was called, the Winona Echoes, in 1919, where a group of ministers got together from across the country to discuss the state of the nation more than 100 years ago. And they were discussing the development of the First World War and what took place there and the changing in technology. You had the automobile being introduced. You had a plague hit the land in 1919. So it's interesting that they were facing a lot of the same things that we're facing today. And one minister whose name was Reverend William King, he began to speak about the importance of the Americanization of revival. And what he meant by that, as you dig into it, he said it was not enough for us to be American, but we had to be Christian. And he said we must Christianize the thought of America. Now, I love this. He said we have to once again Christianize the thought of America. This is the church's task, to make America Christian again. And so when we talk about patriotism, I'm not for nationalizing Christianity. I am for Christianizing our nation. That's called revival. And I think we need to, once again, because in order to pray for a nation, there has to be great love for that nation. Love for a nation is called patriotism. I think we need a revival of Christian patriotism. Not nationalism. Germany had nationalism where there was great pride in their nation. But a Christianization of our nation, a Christianization of patriotism, where we love our nation to the point that every time we think about it, we are speaking the word of God over it and we are praying over it. I think there needs to be a reviving of a love for country in America and a return to what was once called old glory, a reference to the flag. What if we made the American flag a trigger for intercession in the mind of every single Christian? That every time they saw the American flag, they begin to pray over their nation. And first of all, pray for those who are in authority, that we may live quiet and peaceable lives. So I believe this year we're going to see a revival of patriotism, and it is a necessity so that we can intercede for this nation and so that we can see revival that will spread across the whole wide world.
Amen. There's some very good action points that you've laid out in our conversation here. Bishop Alan DiDio, it's great to have you here to share what God is speaking to you about 2025 and actually looking back at what God said in 2024 and how we've seen that come to fulfillment. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, brother.